and they feel our strong answers. We need a little bit more financing to be comparable, because when we spoke about it today, when they use each day 500 drones, for example, or 600 drones, we use 100, 150. Just capabilities, we have enough capabilities. Just now the question of finance. I spoke with partners, and by increasing finance, we will increase and be comparable with long-distance drones. And Russia will have more questions from, I think, their society to their leaders. This is important. Then about so before this moment, we used on long-distance targets, we used only our weapon, as you know. And after my meeting with President of the United States, yes, we will maybe have something more. I don't know. We'll see.
And maybe I can add.
This is my video update on this Thursday afternoon, October the 2nd. Coming to you from Moscow, let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the Wall Street Journal article, which says that the Trump administration has decided to share intel with Ukraine. Intel on Russian energy facilities and oil refineries and stuff like that. And this intel is going to be used by Ukraine to launch long-range missile strikes at these facilities deep inside of Russia. And according to the Wall Street Journal, the long-range missiles will most likely be provided by the United States in the form of Tomahawk missiles and also Barracuda missiles. This is what the Wall Street Journal is reporting. The title of their article is U.S. to provide Ukraine with intelligence for missile strikes deep inside Russia. Trump has approved sharing targeted data with Ukrainians as the administration weighs sending powerful weapons. So the United States and NATO, the collective West, they've been sharing intelligence information with Ukraine since the beginning of the special military operation. But now the Wall Street Journal is making it out as if Trump is now taking the decision to green light the sharing of intel with Ukraine. What the story is really about is the Trump administration getting very close to sending the Tomahawks and this new missile, this Barracuda missile, to Ukraine so that the Trump administration can damage Russia's energy infrastructure. The Trump administration, according to the Wall Street Journal, believes that if they launch these missiles into Russia and they hit enough oil refineries and other energy facilities, then they will significantly damage Russia's energy security, and this will lead to some sort of a Russian capitulation. The Wall Street Journal, let's see here, the Wall Street Journal is saying that Washington has long been sharing intelligence with Kiev, but the Wall Street Journal said it will now be easier for Ukraine to hit infrastructure like refineries, pipelines, and power plants with the aim of depriving the Kremlin of revenue and oil. This is the first time the United States will provide assistance with Ukrainian long-range strikes deep into Russian territory on energy targets, officials told the Wall Street Journal. Energy revenue remains the Kremlin's single most important source of cash to finance the war effort, making oil and gas exports a central target of Western sanctions. Now they will be a central target of the U.S. military, because it will be the U.S. military that will be firing these long-range missiles into Russia and going after Russia's energy infrastructure. This will not be Ukraine military that is going to be firing these missiles into Russia. And it does look like when you read the article from the Wall Street Journal that the Trump administration has effectively greenlit the sending of Tomahawks and Barracuda missiles to Ukraine. Now, the Barracuda missile, we've talked about the Tomahawk missiles, but the Barracuda missile is a new missile manufactured by Anduril. Sounds like a headache medicine, Anduril. Anyway, they are the company behind the Barracuda missile. The Tomahawk missile has a range of 1,500 miles to... Is it 1,500 miles, 3,000 kilometers, I believe, is the Tomahawk. The Barracuda has a range of 500 miles. I've actually read some reports which claim that the Barracuda can reach up to 900 miles. I don't know if that's true, but you're talking about a new missile which is one-tenth the size of the Tomahawk. The warhead is one-tenth that of the Tomahawk missile, but the advantage of the Barracuda is that it is cheap to produce and it's very easy to produce. But the Barracuda is still in a type of test phase. Actually, Taiwan, they are testing the Barracuda missiles, to use the Barracuda missiles against China. So this is a missile which has not been tested. It will be tested for the first time against Russia in the conflict in Ukraine. And I can definitely see the Trump administration greenlighting this missile. I don't believe it's being mass-produced, but if it's successfully tested in Ukraine, then I could definitely see the Trump administration green-lighting or providing the backing for the mass production of the Barracuda missile. One-tenth the warhead of the Tomahawk, end of the Taurus. That is the Barracuda, but 90% cheaper than a Tomahawk to manufacture. So that's the big benefit of the Barracuda. And so what would you do with the Barracuda if you start to mass produce this? You would send a whole lot of them into Russia and see if they can get by the Russian air defense and do damage to Russian energy facilities and energy infrastructure. Now, the Biden administration, they fired TACMS missiles into the Russian Federation. But we're talking about missiles which have a much longer range, and the Trump administration is specifically saying that they're going to go after, that they are targeting and they're going to go after Russian energy infrastructure in order to weaken Russia, to weaken Russia's energy security and energy output, which will then force Putin into some sort of a capitulation. A very dangerous escalation from the Trump administration. This definitely makes the United States an active participant in this war. They will be actively participating in this conflict. They will be attacking the Russian Federation with deep strikes into the Russian Federation. And we'll see what Russia's reaction will be to this. I said in a video from a couple of days ago that the sense that I got listening to Kellogg's comments over the past couple of days was that they are very, very ready, the United States, the Trump administration, to test Putin's red lines and to see if he reacts to deep strikes into Russia and going after Russia's energy infrastructure. And so we'll see if Russia reacts to these strikes. One thing that the neocons will accomplish with this is that they will make sure that there is no normalization of diplomatic ties between Russia and the United States, no rapprochement between Russia and the United States, because the United States attacking Russia in such a way would make it impossible for Putin or any administration to justify a normalization of relations between the United States and Russia. So the neocons will have accomplished that. And this will also please the Europeans in a big way, because this will mean that the United States having given up on any type of normalization with Russia or the multipolar world, are 100% committed to the Europeans, to the globalists, the political elite in Europe. The United States, with this move, which I consider to be pretty much a done deal, at least that's the impression that you get when you read the Wall Street Journal article, the United States will be forever tethered to the European Union, to the Europeans, to the UK, and the Europeans and the UK will be forever connected and tethered to the United States. And that means the money flows back and forth between both parties will continue. And at the end of the day, what this is ultimately about is money. No question to that. The Zelensky $90 billion military mega deal that I talked about a couple of days ago, I imagine the $140 billion in Russian frozen assets, as Alexander said in a video that he recorded a couple of days ago, a big part of the $140 billion that the European Union is trying to steal will go to the United States in the form of money to the MIC, $90 billion of that. When Zelensky is talking about a $90 billion mega deal between Ukraine and the United States to purchase weapons from the United States, what Zelensky is talking about is that he's reached some sort of an understanding with Trump so that if and when the $140 billion of Russian frozen assets, actually $136 billion, because Ursula already gave $4 billion to Zelensky the other day. So $136 billion of the Russian frozen assets that the European Union is planning on stealing, $90 billion of that will be part of this Zelensky-Trump weapons mega deal that was being talked about a couple of days ago. So the United States is going to be a very active participant in attacking Russia, in a conflict with Russia, courtesy of the peace president, Donald J. Trump. And this war of the United States would mean that the U.S. is about to take part in three conflicts, right? We're talking about, well, what's already happening in the Middle East, and in Gaza with Israel. We're also talking about expanding that to Iran, and most everyone now is pretty much confirmed that the United States is going to attack Iran. Israel and the United States are planning for a big attack against Iran. I think that's pretty much given by now. The only question of the attack on Iran is when. When is this going to happen? So you're going to have that theater of war that Trump is overseeing. You have Russia Ukraine now, where Trump is getting ever more bogged down in the Ukraine quagmire and in a conflict with Russia. And you have Venezuela, right? There are a lot of reports talking about an imminent U.S. Attack or operation against Venezuela and Maduro, some sort of a decapitation strike, a regime change of Maduro. The pieces appear to be in place or are moving very quickly in place in and around Venezuela so that they can launch this this regime change decapitation operation. And I've even read reports which claim that there are forces inside of Venezuela, opposition forces inside of the country that have been briefed by the Trump administration, and they're just waiting for the green light for the attack to happen, as well as the opposition candidate during the last elections, Mr. Gonzalez, who is in exile in Spain. So we're not talking about Juan Guaido. We're talking about the guy that ran against Maduro, Gonzalez. And he has been briefed, according to various reports by the Trump administration, about the imminent strike against Venezuela so that he can then return to Caracas and claim himself as the legitimate leader of Venezuela, for which he will be recognized immediately by the collective West and by the Trump administration. And that's the operation that's about to go down any day now, any week now. This operation against Venezuela could commence from Stellar Man. Trump is really going to attempt a three-front war with Russia, Venezuela, and Iran in this economy. And Americans are going to be aiming weapons that will kill Russians in Russia, and Ukraine will be pulling the trigger. I agree with everything that Stellar Man is saying in this post, except for the fact that he says that Ukraine will be pulling the trigger. That's not going to happen. It will be the United States that will be pulling the trigger on the weapons, the long-range missiles that will be fired into Russia. So we have day two of the Copenhagen summit that the European elite, the leaders of Europe, are taking part in. And according to Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban, the talk in Copenhagen is that of war. Viktor Orban is saying that as he sits in on various meetings of European leaders, what they are talking about is a war between Europe, the collective West, and Russia, and this war could start up by 2026, but by 2027, Europe wants to engage in a war with Russia, according to Orban's statements. This is what he posted on X. Copenhagen, day two. The situation is serious. Outright pro-war proposals are on the table. They want to hand over EU funds to Ukraine. They are trying to accelerate Ukraine's accession with all kinds of legal tricks. They want to finance arms deliveries. All these proposals clearly show that the Brusselsians want to go to war. I will stand firmly by the Hungarian position, but this summit also proves that the coming months will be about the threat of war. We will need the support of our entire political community and of every Hungarian who longs for peace. They want to hand over the EU funds to Ukraine, Orban says. They are accelerating the accession of Ukraine into the EU using legal tricks. I talked about that yesterday. He says it's all about war. Pro-war proposals. He uses the word proposals. They are putting proposals on the table for war with Russia, according to Viktor Orban. And in order to go to war with Russia, the Europeans are going to need the United States to back them up. There's no way that the Europeans will be able to go to war with Russia, not in 2026, not in 2027, not in 2030, without the backing up of the United States. So anyway, that is Viktor Orban's post on X. That is what the Copenhagen summit is all about. That is what what anything is about in Europe these days, these years. All the Europeans are concerned about, the only thing that they are concerned about is Project Ukraine and war with Russia. As their economies implode, as their economies crumble and collapse, all they can think about, all they can talk about, the only thing that they are working on is Project Ukraine and some sort of a war or escalation with Russia. And that includes the stealing of the Russian assets, for which the Kremlin has now responded to Peskov. He put out a statement after listening to Ursula's statement from yesterday, where she says that the European Union has given $4 billion of money earned from the Russian frozen assets to the Zelensky regime. Peskov's response to Ursula was that all of this is going to boomerang right back at you, European Union. The minute you start stealing Russia's frozen assets will be the financial meltdown of the European Union. And Peskov, in his comments, he made it clear that Russia will pursue all legal avenues available to it to get that money back, and that Russia will get that money back. And Europe is going to have to, if they steal the $140 billion, they are going to have to pay Russia back. And that that countries, investors that are parking their money in Europe, they will remove their money from Europe over time because of this outright theft. That is what Peskov called it, outright theft of Russia's assets. Kremlin warns of boomerang over West's latest asset tapping plan. The EU has proposed a reparations loan tied to frozen Russian funds, while U.S. lawmakers have pushed to seize and send them to Ukraine monthly. So that's the situation. It's pretty gloomy, man. Pretty gloomy situation. Trump is escalating for war with Russia. The Europeans, they are putting proposals on the table for a war with Russia. Pretty gloomy outlook. So let's talk about what's happening in Poland before we get to some other news, because Poland is launching new training centers for Ukrainian troops. They're opening up a training center called Camp Jomsborg, which could host up to 1,200 soldiers, according to Polish officials. The purpose of this training center is to train Ukrainians on drones and to continue in the conflict with Russia, but to also train Polish military on drones. So they want to bring Ukrainians over to this camp in Poland, this new training center in Poland, train them to continue to fight the Russian military while also getting their input and their expertise in drone warfare. So that is the new training camp from Poland. And just the other day, the new Polish president, Nawrocki, he put out a law where he was going to further criminalize Banderite ideology, and at the same time, he is opening a training center for the Banderites. That's what's happening in Poland. By the way, Zelensky, he wanted Nawrocki to close off the Baltic Sea to Russia. And Nawrocki has revealed that he had to turn down Zelensky's demands because, according to Nawrocki, Zelensky was saying that Russia was launching the drones into Poland from the Shadow Fleet in the Baltic Sea. This is what Zelensky was telling Nawrocki, and he was demanding that Nawrocki shut down the Baltic Sea to Russia. Russia was launching the drones, the foam decoy drones with duct tape. They were launching these drones from Shadow Fleet tankers in the Baltic Sea. This is the stuff that Zelensky comes up with, and this is the stuff that he was telling Navrovsky. Luckily, Navrovsky didn't buy it. Who knows what substances Zelensky is on when he comes up with these stories. This is the guy that the collective West wants to go to World War III for. This is the guy, Zelensky. Crazy stuff. Anyway, what is going on in Morocco? What is going on in Morocco, man? Protests, big protests are taking place in Morocco. Violent protests are taking place in Morocco. Generation Z protests are happening in Morocco. Generation Z protests growing in many cities against government overspending on sports and stadiums, while health and education are neglected. Members of a youth-led movement called Gen Z 212 say they will continue their protests despite the arrests of dozens of people during demonstrations this past weekend. The protesters are demanding better school, jobs, health services, and an end to corruption. So when they talk about spending, overspending on sports and stadiums, I believe Morocco is part of a contingent of countries that want to host the World Cup in 2030. So that's why you have the reports about spending on sports and stadiums while neglecting healthcare and education. The part that makes me want to learn more about these protests is that they're being labeled Generation Z protests. The movement is called Gen Z 212. So anyone watching from Morocco, let us know in the comments down below what is going on with these protests. What is going on with this group, Gen Z 212? Are the protests indeed as violent as the reports claim? And is the government ignoring spending on healthcare and education while overspending on stuff like the building of stadiums in order to win the World Cup 2030? So that is the reports, at least from what I know, of what is going on in Morocco. A developing story, no doubt. Look at how beautiful the churches are. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So here's another story that I have not been following very closely. Too much news to get to every day. Too many things going on in the world for one man to take on. But anyway, I am going to talk a little bit about this story because it is getting a lot of attention now. And that is the flotilla that is heading towards Gaza with humanitarian aid, with food and medicine, from what I understand. And we're not talking about one flotilla. We are talking about 40 ships, flotillas, that are on their way to Gaza in order to break the Israeli blockade. And yesterday, the Israeli Navy, they intercepted, I want to say, 12 or 13 of these flotillas, including the one where Greta Thunberg is on board. Israel intercepts Gaza-bound aid flotilla carrying Greta Thunberg and MEPs. The flotilla sets sail in August and has pro-Palestine activists from around the world on board. Now, the Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs, they confirmed the reports. We have videos as well, but they came out with a post confirming the reports that the flotilla with Greta Thunberg has been intercepted, and they said that Greta and everyone on board is safe. But they said that the flotilla was indeed intercepted. But you have another 27 flotillas, right, on the way to Gaza, carrying food and medicine, and they're looking to break the Israeli blockade, right? 40 flotillas minus 13. If we do some Annalena Baerbock math, that comes out to 27, right? It's a lot of flotillas this time around, and it does look like that they are going to break the blockade. At least I saw some maps which claimed that some of the flotillas right now are 8 kilometers away from the shores of Gaza. So it does look like some of these flotillas are going to make it to Gaza. Anyway, we will keep an eye on this news. And let's do one more story. Let's do one more story. How am I doing on time? Yeah, let's do one more, and then we'll get to a clown world. And we have to talk about the $20 billion bailout to Argentina and to Milei, because it does look like that even though you have a government shutdown in the United States, an exception has been made for the $20 billion bailout to Milei. So as the government is shut down, and various payments cannot be made to various things in the United States, one thing that they are making sure does get paid out is the $20 billion bailout to Argentina and to Javier Milei. Now, this story has a very interesting twist, which has to do with China and soybeans. So let me read you a bunch of posts on X, which make this a very interesting news story, the $20 billion bailout to Argentina at a time when the U.S. government is shut down. We just gave Javier Milei's government in Argentina a $20 billion bailout. Argentina has universal health care. And this is in reply to a post from the White House, which says the United States is done subsidizing the health care of the rest of the world. America first. So that's a post from the White House. And Kyle Bloomquist replies to that post by saying, yeah, we just gave Argentina a $20 billion bailout, and they have universal health care. America first, White House. This is coming from the account of Arnaud Bertrand, which says, this is legit hilarious. According to the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture herself, Trump's bailout of Argentina means that U.S. taxpayers are now effectively subsidizing Argentinian soybean exports to China, the very market American farmers have been shut out of. All the funnier when you consider that one of the key objectives of the bailout is presumably to prevent Argentina, one of the U.S.'s only friendly governments left in South America, from moving closer to China, and instead is effectively funding the exact opposite outcome. This is according to this leaked text that Scott Bessent is reading from Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rawlings, which says, I'm getting more intel, but this is highly unfortunate. We bailed out Argentina yesterday, Bessent. In return, the Argentines removed their export tariffs on grains, reducing their price, and sold a bunch of soybeans to China at a time when we would normally be selling to China. Soy prices dropping further because of it. This gives China more leverage on us. And here you can see the Daily Mail article on your screen right now, which Arnaud Bertrand is referencing, which has the title, Scott Bessent spotted reading a text message sounding alarm on China. So you can see the screenshot of Bessent reading this message from Brooke Rawlings, where she is basically saying that the United States has bailed out Argentina to the tune of $20 billion. U.S. farmers have been shut out of selling their soybeans to China. And now China is buying the soybeans from Argentina because of the U.S. bailout to Argentina, which has given Argentina the ability, because of this bailout, they can now sell, they can now export their soybeans to China. Am I getting this right? What a freaking clown show. Follow along. Trump losing badly to China. Soybean exports to China, 2024, $12.6 billion. 2025, $0 since May. No future orders. Trump gives $20 billion bailout to Argentina. Then China buys at least 650,000 metric tons of Argentine soybeans. Yeah, I got that right. I got that right. Zero soybean sales from the United States to China. $20 billion from the United States to bail out Argentina. China buys soybeans from Argentina because of the $20 billion bailout, which has afforded Argentina the ability to get those soybeans to China. What a freaking L for the Trump administration. America first. No, not at all. Not at all. And all of this was on Bessent's screen in a message from Brooke Rollins that the Daily Mail is reporting on. Amazing. And a lot of the bailout in Argentina is about shale oil. That's one of the big reasons that the United States is so eager, so pressed to bail out Milei. And this information was brought to my attention by one of our subscribers. I forgot the word for some reason. This was brought to my attention by one of our video subscribers in Argentina, who told me, "Hey, Alex, you're getting it all wrong. It's not really about MAGA. Bailing out Milei is not so much about MAGA as it is about shale oil. And there's a whole lot of shale oil in Argentina at a region called the Vaca Muerta. And Chevron's invested in the shale oil in Vaca Muerta, as is Shell. And there's a lot of shale oil in this area in Argentina. And the United States, they have to make sure that they can keep Argentina and Milei afloat and on side. So that is an update there. And let's do some clown worlds and we can wrap up today's video. And we'll start things off with a Vovon and Lexus prank call to Samantha Power. Now, I don't know if this is the second prank call that they've made to Samantha Power, or if this is the older prank call that was made to Samantha Power and this is just getting republished, or maybe parts of the interview were not published and now they're getting published. But I do remember that Vovon and Lexus, they prank called Samantha Power a couple of months ago, didn't they? And now you have more video, either a new video, a new prank call, or more video from the first prank call of Vovon and Lexus to Samantha Power. Anyway, they were pretending to be Poroshenko, which all of the collective West leaders, they always fall for the Poroshenko prank, always. For some reason, they're very eager. Gotta talk to Poroshenko. They always take the call when it's coming from Poroshenko. Anyway, Samantha Power, from the videos that have surfaced from Vovon and Lexus, she admitted that the United States, USAID, was funding Moldova and played a big part in Sandu's election wins. And she admitted that $1.5 billion from USAID was given to Project Ukraine. We were giving $1.5 billion into the treasury of Ukraine just in cash, according to Samantha Power. And she also said that that the one thing that Trump did right, or has done right, in his second term as president, is that he has placed tariffs on India. Let's go this way. That's the one thing that he has done right, placed tariffs on India. And Samantha Power claims that these tariffs on India will force Modi to stop purchasing oil from Russia. So I think this is a video from the first interview, from the interview with Samantha Power that took place a couple of months ago. And Vova and Alexis have decided to now release a lot of this video. I don't believe this was a second prank call that Samantha Power fell for, but if this was indeed a second prank call and she fell for it, then man, two prank calls from Vovan and Lexis, that's pretty incredible. Anyway, that's one clown world. And the second clown world is Trump saying at the speech in Virginia that if he is snubbed for a Nobel Peace Prize, then that will be an insult to the United States. That is what Trump said. He wants that Nobel Peace Prize so bad. The problem that Trump has is that he is a war president, not a peace president. Trump is a war president. Then again, so was Obama, and Obama got a peace prize. So who knows? Maybe that makes the case for Trump getting a Nobel Peace Prize, the fact that he is a war president. Anyway, Trump pointed to his latest Mideast peace plan, claiming it was the eighth conflict he has helped resolve in many months. We'll have eight in 8 months. Will you get the Nobel Prize? Absolutely not, he said, before adding, they'll give it to some guy that didn't do a damn thing. Trump joked that the prize would likely end up going to a writer instead, insisting he wasn't seeking personal recognition. It'll be a big insult to our country, I will tell you that. I don't want it. I want the country to get it, he said. Trump doesn't want it. He wants the country to get it. You see, it's not about Trump getting the Nobel Peace Prize. It's about the United States getting the Nobel Peace Prize. Okay, I get it now. I get it. All right. So anyway, you see, it's a selfless act from Trump to push for the Nobel Peace Prize. He's doing it for America, not for himself. I like it. I like that Nobel Peace Prize. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. The Duran.locals.com. We're on X. We're on Rumble, and we are on Telegram. And go to the Duran shop. Pick up some merch like what I'm wearing in this video update. There is a link in the description box down below. Take care.